pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace in our lives and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would draw us deeper into a relationship with you. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. So I asked the question at the beginning of the service, what is your favorite fairy tale? What is your favorite fairy tale? Cinderella. Which one? Bolt. Okay. Bolt wasn't quite the fairy tale, but you had mentioned Rapunzel earlier. Anyone else? Pocahontas. Okay. Brothers Grimm. They wrote a lot. Sleeping Beauty. Someone else? Goldilocks. See, I love fairy tales because they generally tell a simple message for all of us, and it's an easy message to get. And one of my favorites, I guess, for me is Cinderella because I love the rags-to-riches story. I love the person who is downtrodden, but in the midst of the downtroddenness, keeps their head up, and eventually goodness comes. I found this story, it's Max Lucado's story called All You Ever Need. Pat Harton loaned it to me. And I really want to just read this to you this morning. All You Ever Need. Here we go. So the story begins. Years ago, there was a village in a desert land. In this dry land, there was very little water. It seldom rained, but when it did, the people scurried about, capturing what they could in buckets and pots. Every drop was as pure as gold. But even though the land was dry, the people were never thirsty, for nearby lived a kind man named Tobias, who owned a deep wellspring from which poured clear, cool water. The people called Tobias the Water Master, and they loved him very much. He shared his treasure with everyone in the village. All they had to do was ask. And the Water Master would gladly let him dip into his well. "Drink all you want," he offered. Not only did Tobias share from his well, but he taught his son to do this also. Tobias and his son Julian would help the people dip their buckets and carry their loads. Day after day, the people would come to the well. Tobias would smile and say, "Take all you need." He would talk to the people about their lives. He would laugh with them and inquire about their hopes and their dreams, while Julian helped them draw water for their families. Tobias was a kind friend, always ready to help the villagers. One day, the Water Master announced to the village, "My son and I are going away for a while. While we're gone, my servant Elzevir will watch over the well. He will give you all the water you need." With that, the Water Master and his son turned and walked up the road, leading away from the village. The people were sad to see them leave, but they trusted Elzevir to supply their needs. And indeed, Elzevir did just as the Water Master said. Each day when the villagers came for water, he eagerly filled their buckets. As he did, he told the people, "Take all you need. There is plenty of water for all." For a time, the village went about its business as usual. But then one day, Elzevir noticed that the villagers were not grateful when they received their water. They just took their full buckets and raced away without one word of thanks. This troubled Elzevir so much that he decided to stop giving water to everyone. He had forgot the Water Master's kindness to all. Instead, he announced to the villagers, "From now on, I will not give water to those who are not thankful. All the people were surprised. After Elzevir's announcement, all the villagers tried hard to remember to thank him when they received water. Sometime later, Elzevir noticed that some of the people were unkind to their neighbors and mean to their animals. Again, the substitute water master was bothered. He determined to give water only to nice people. If you are mean to your animals or unkind to your neighbors, you will get no water, he announced. The people worked hard to please Elzevir so they wouldn't go thirsty. But as time passed, the taskmaster continued to find some new fault with people. You are too busy. You are too lazy. You're not quick enough. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. With each decision, fewer people were given water. Over the time, the villagers grew sad and angry. How can we ever be good enough for Elzevir? They questioned. We'll all die of thirst, they cried. As Elzevir's rules grew longer, the line for the water grew shorter. The people, growing thirsty, began to give up. It's no use, the people cried. We can't please you. In the midst of the shouting, a quiet figure approached the gathered villagers. Elzevir eyed the man suspiciously. Another thirsty soul, no doubt, he growled. Can you show that you're worthy of water? The man quietly strode to the well and turned to the people. I have come to help you, he said. Elzevir was angry. Just who do you think you are? The man removed his cloak. The villagers gasped. When they saw the familiar face, they began to whisper among themselves. I am Julian, the son of the water master. My father sent me to share the water with all the people. At that, the people cheered. Elzevir became afraid. The villagers wanted revenge. No water for Elzevir, they shouted. The son held up his hand to the crowd to quiet them. My father's water is a gift to all, he said patiently. But Elzevir was cruel to us. I know he was. But if water were given only to good people, who could drink? No one spoke. The son placed his hand on Elzevir's shoulder. Freely you have received, freely give. The people looked at each other and were silent. They knew the son's words were wise and true. And so from that day on, Elzevir was forgiven, and the water was shared freely. I really like this story, and as you know, if you were able to figure it out, the water master was who? God the Father. The water master's son was Julian, who was. And then the water represented grace, or the pouring out of God's Holy Spirit. Water is often seen or is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And so in the midst of the story, you see that God brought water. God created the earth. And then eventually his son came and helped out. And then they both went away. Maybe that 400 years of silence between the Old and New Testament. And Elzevir represents kind of those people who were in charge, who were supposed to lead others to God, lead others to the well of the Holy Spirit, so to speak. And all of a sudden it became all about rules and not relationships. And God then sent his son back to correct that problem. Of course, Jesus came. We celebrated his birth just the other night. Now, out of this whole story, the one part that I really, really like the most is this. The son placed his hand on Elzevir's shoulder, and he said these words. Go ahead and say them. Freely you have received, freely give. You see, it's easy for us as Christians to kind of hoard our Christianity and to practice it within the quietness of our own hearts, our own minds, our own homes. But yet when we get out, we forget that we're supposed to share what has been freely given to us. And how we share that, it can be through words of kindness, acts of kindness. It can be through serving others, through the church, through missions. It's seen as we give of our time, as we give of our abilities and talents, as we give of our money, to show that, yes, we have freely received everything that God has given us, and now we want to freely give. It's a simple story. It's not that hard to do, and sometimes we make it harder than it should be. So I want to encourage you this year, as we roll into a new year, to take this verse. This is actually a verse that Jesus used in the Bible. Freely you have received, freely give. And to make that your own verse this year. To remember that everything you have received is a gift from God, and that God wants you to freely give. You don't want to become like Elzevir, where it's just about a bunch of rules to follow. You want to be like Julian or Jesus, and you want to freely give. The other aspect of this story that I really like, and I chose this picture, is that we need to be reminded that as we have freely received, one of those things we freely received is God's forgiveness. And probably the biggest thing you can do as a follower of Christ is to forgive others when they hurt you. Maybe it's an individual action. Maybe it's something that somebody said, something somebody did. Maybe it was something that somebody didn't say or didn't do. God says, forgive them. You have freely received forgiveness, freely give. Maybe you're angry at a group of people, people you work with. Maybe it's a part of society. Maybe you're even angry at the church. God says, I have forgiven you, so freely forgive others. No one needs to live underneath a cloud of unforgiveness, because that cloud of unforgiveness keeps you from freely giving. So, going into this next year, freely you have received, freely give. Amen? Let us pray. God, we're grateful that such simple stories can remind us of the greatest story that we find in the Word of God. And God, we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to live our lives, when we catch ourselves in that moment where we have done wrong, where we have spoken wrong, or where we have been wrongly treated, we ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to forgive those. Remind us of how you have forgiven us, that we might be your children, lived out in the life of others so that they would see you. And we ask all of this by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.